Okay, before we get started, can everybody hear me all right?
Yep.
I speak pretty loud because I've lost some of my hearing. So that come by the way of a gift from God.
Let's see if it's back on your phone. We did lose your phone. Not bad.
Okay. Is that any better?
Yeah.
Okay. You can't do anything now without power, can you? And I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to talk about that a little bit too. But before we get started, I'll ask Mike, if you will, because Mike and I have something in common. We both know right. And if you would, open with a word of prayer for us, Mike.
Absolutely. Our dear Heavenly Father, through your Son, the Lord and Savior in our head, Christ Jesus, we pray, thanking you for all things in this life, for life itself, for the understanding of you and your Son, for this precious word that you have kept going for years and years, and that has been attacked. We're so spoiled now because I believe that we're coming to the end of this the end of this dispensation, and your word is being poured out in so much abundance we don't even realize the fact that thousands of people died for your word. There's been people in history that could never read a page of your word. Some people would pay a year's wage for a scripture at a period of time. We really today really take so many things for granted, and we pray that we don't do that, that we endeavor in your word. We find out the importance of your word, the history of your word, and more so that we know the tremendous calling that we have, what it is, how fantastic it is, how special it is. And that we've been chosen out before the Kata Vale, the overthrow, whatever that might mean to people. I think it's before you created anything, even Satan himself. And so we pray that we might be cognizant of how special that is, and how precious that is in this world as we walk about and we keep this in our hearts and minds, and pray it out and teach it amongst people that would have want to know it. We thank you for this conference and the beautiful people that put it on. All the effort we know about that, my wife and I know about putting on conferences, what it takes. We pray for, we thank all the people that came here, traveled a long way, you might have taken off of work. Might be a bunch of those guys that are retired. We wonder about them. But that was a joke. But we thank you for all the people that have come here and spent the time and money to be here to bring your word. We've heard some really awesome talks here, and we pray that we might love one another in and through your Son, through the Holy Spirit, and that we might see Christ in each other. And then as we travel, we pray that you would keep us and lead us and help us be strong, put on the armor of God, so that we can quench all of the flaming javelins of the evil one, which would take us away from your truth. We pray for Pops this morning that your message, that his message would be awesome and touch our hearts, and that we might be more knowledgeable in your word. In the name of our Lord and Savior and Head, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And it was good to hear Alan and his study and the way he presents it and puts it forth, knowing that, that he is a very good studier. I'm not going to say reader now, but I'll say he is a good studier of the Word of God. And I wanted to follow up on one of his words that he used up here, talking about not using it that way. And I got that from someone in Nashville, Tennessee, having been up there a few times, me and the wife, and I've got kin up there and kinfolk. And so I'm working on something that I wanted to leave for my family and my children, and I started a book called The Dust Between My Toes. Now, I'm not going to really explain that to you right now, but I'll talk to you in person about it if you want to talk about it a little bit sometime. But there's a reason for that. But go back to Alan's word about religion. And I heard this story a long time ago from a man, and I'll never forget it. And he said there was a little lady that left the United States here and went over to England. And while she was over there in England doing these tours and traveling around, she decided she'd take in a worship study in one of their cathedrals over there. And so she asked around about the time, and someone gave her the time when they would have worship in the cathedral. And so she decided she'd go there and join in, because she said she was a Christian. So the people that she was getting her information from. Well, when she went over there and she come to the door of the cathedral, this guy in the tails and tux, he come to greet her. He was the usher. And she said, "I want to come and be a part of your study here, or whatever you do." And so he carried her back, walked her back to her pew, and he gave her the motion to sit down, and she got in there and she sat down. The organ started playing, and it was a slow type of an organ music, and she didn't think much about it. Well, in a little while, the organ boom, 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 and started out with a fast song. And she got into that right quick. And in that fast song, you know, something moved her to say, "I want to get involved." So she jumped up out of her pew and she said, "Glory! Glory! Glory! Hallelujah!" About this time, here comes the guy in the tux and tails, and he come walking up to her and looked down at her. He said, "Madam, we will have no outburst like this in this place." She said, "Young man, I'll have you to know I got religion." Religion. He looked back at her and looked down at her and he said, "Madam, you might have religion, but you didn't get it here." Everybody, how many here remembers Eddie the Greek that come with us for a long time? Eddie the Greek had one. And he said this shepherd was out in the pasture tending to the flock. And he said the main sheep was following after another sheep, kind of giving him the, punching him around a little bit with the horns or whatever. And said, Bah! And I guess kind of hit the other sheep up a little bit. And the other sheep looked back at the main sheep and said, moo. Main sheep said, why the moo? And the other sheep said, I'm learning a new language. So sometimes we got to laugh a little bit. And it's always good to do that. And we don't do it enough. We really don't do it enough. But we should be the most happy people in the world.
Amen.
Because of the promise of the hope that we have.
Amen.
And that we, I don't know if we really understand it listening to Alan here, but I think, you know, we're on the right track anyway. And so we have to take all this as it comes, because we have to deal, or usually deal with, people from all walks of life. And in the all walks of life, I realize you're not going to please everybody with everything, and God certainly hasn't pleased everybody with the way He does His all things. Because if you look at the words all in all in the New Testament, that really means something, all in all. Because when it comes right down to it, the Godhead is the all in all. God is the owner of all things that we have. We're just the users.
Amen.
And He graciously allows us to use what is here, although it may be marred by sin. He allows us to use it here, and it's not always free of charge. There's always a cost that comes with it. See, when God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden, He had a place there that they were staying. But when they fell out of His grace, then they got kicked out, booted out, whatever you want to call it. They got ejected from the garden. God had made provisions for their food. He had made provisions for the things that they could partake of and could not partake of. They made provisions. He made provisions for the cover. That Brother Alan mentioned, the cover. Death, you know, requires a cover. But He didn't build them an abode. The abode was left up to mankind. He just furnished the materials that could be used for the abode. So you see, when we look at it, we can't say, well, God gave us all this stuff, but He didn't give us a house or a place to stay in. But God did a lot for mankind that mankind is not appreciative of. You can't hardly find anybody that returns thanks anymore. But thanksgiving is part of prayer. It's prayer and supplication. It's supplication. I like that word. I don't know where it's worked much or not, Brother Al. But supplication is going to God and asking God for something for someone. This is my view of it. To ask God for something for someone that you yourself cannot make arrangements for. And you're asking God to do it because He is all powerful and He can do it. And so it brings me up to the word power. And that's important to me in this day and time because it should be to you too. Because without power, we'd be in darkness sitting here right now. And we don't really stop to think about it. We don't give God time to thank Him for what He has done totally for us. For God so loved the world. Not United States, the world, the place that everybody lives on, the world. He gave His only begotten Son and caused Him to spill His blood for that love. And it gives us our hope, gives us our understanding. He gives us our knowledge and He gives us our freedom if man allows it to worship Him like we should in truth and grace. We don't even stop to think about that. But the power situation. Now this has been on my mind for a little while now because my tribe is getting pretty good size. And me and my man started our tribe way back years ago on a Valentine's night. And the result of that is the man sitting over there at the table. She said, Cecil. Let's have a baby. The 8th day of November, 1959, we got that baby. And that's the day that the Redskins beat the New York Giants. Because I watched the ball game on television before I took her to the hospital. So, what Ronnie said a while ago about Pop or Dad, I just got him back. And that's the word that I wanted to really bring up because it's used about 4 times in the Bible and the word is requite. In the English, it's requite. And generally it means to pay back or to repay. And the first time it's used, basically, was when the children of Israel went into Egypt to get corn. And the father Israel sent his boys over there to get corn because there was famine in the land. And so they went over there, and you remember the story about Joseph, the coat of many colors, the blood that was put on it, the deal that they looked at and said, well, it might be better to sell him off into slavery And so the caravan come by, and so rather than killing the baby boy of the family, they sold him. You know what? That was a plan of God, that he get sold, because he was the savior of their tribes by doing this. And they went over there and they met this guy, Joseph. And they were the brothers of Joseph. Joseph knew them, but they didn't know Joseph. He had changed a lot. But he recognized his brothers. Oh, got something, Mike? Want to use? Do I need to repay these brothers of mine for the deeds they done to me? Because you see, God gave him the ability to foresee things. We call it, I guess, becoming a prophet, so to speak. And he would always tell them his dreams. And he was a dreamer. He always dreamed. And these brothers said, boy, he's a nut, so to speak. That's me speaking South Carolina English. But here he was in Egypt. And they brought the sacks and brought the animals to take the corn back. And so they made this deal. And in talking with each other, he knew who they were, but they didn't know who he was. And he asked them, do you have a leader or a father? They said, oh yeah, we got one. He said, okay, I'm going to sell you this goods to eat. I'm going to let you have it as a friend. But he said, if you have to come back, I want you to bring your father back with you. I want to talk to him. And they agreed to that. So they filled their sacks with corn, and I guess Joseph had his people, which were Egyptians now, to fill the sacks. And they gave him money for the corn. And he put the money in the sacks and tied the sacks back up. And on the journey, they went back to their homeland with this food. And when they got there, they opened up the sacks. What's this? This is our money. The guy didn't take our money. Is he going to accuse us when we go back over? Is he going to accuse us for stealing this? They said, well, wait a minute. He asked for our father to come back. So they went to the father with it. And the father said, yeah, I'll go back with you. Israel, the father of the nation of Israel. They went back over there. You guys probably heard the story. But when they got back over there, then when the little questioning got started, Joseph couldn't hold it anymore. He had to tell his dad, I'm your son. That's the reason I wanted you here, because I wanted you to know that I'm still alive. And that I'm not going to hold anything against you. I'm not going to requite anything. I'm going to show you what true love really is, because it's all God's plan and purpose for you, me, and this nation. So he said, I don't have anything to hold against you, but I could. I'm going to show you what real love from God truly is. God so loved the world that he gave his own son. And it cost him his life and his blood of being a man. And so that word requite carries a lot of weight with me, because that happened to me and my mother when my family had a divorce and I was given to my father with no visitation. I didn't see my mother for 7 years. And she had had children and one of them died. She sent for me to come to see her because we didn't have any back and forth visitation. And I got over there, walked in the house, looked at the casket. I'd never seen my half sister before. Hadn't seen my mom in 7 years. Some of them said, come on, we're going to go in the bedroom. Your mom wants to talk to you. It's hard for me to tell the story. But I went in there, and she was sitting on the side of the bed. She jumped up, and I got a mother's hug that I hadn't had in a long time. And I didn't realize the next thing that was going to take place, because the next thing that was going to take place Mama dropping down on her knees and saying, son, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me for what I put you through. I reached down and got her by the elbows and picked her up, hugged her again and kissed her. And I said, Mom, you don't owe me anything and you certainly don't owe me this, but you do owe it to your Father which is in heaven. Because I think that all this happened because it was done for a purpose. And she did. She followed that instruction and got to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And I got to know my mom again. And about 6 months after that, I met the lady that was the mother of this boy sitting right here. 3-4 years further down the road. So I got my mom back. I got to understand that she got the love of God back. And I got a young lady that became my wife. For 59 years, or 56 years and 9 months. And I couldn't have picked a better person because I didn't pick her. God picked her for me. So here we are. I said all this now to say this. That it come upon my heart to write a book about my life, which is not worth very much. Very little. Early in my life, but it come to be, I think, worth a lot to me later on because of what I understand about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But my tribe is gone from me and Bobby Ann. The 4 children, the 8 in-laws, I don't know how many grandchildren, but I know how many great-grandchildren I got. I've got 15 great-grandkids. And when we all get together, I've got a living room that's 24 by 22 and a half, and I ain't got enough room to put them all in. And Lord, they need to know your love like I have found it. Now, how do we do this? Well, when I started writing, boy, it all started coming back. And I didn't know really how great all this had been to me and to my family and to my life and those that I have met. Because those that I have met showed me the word rightly divided. My grandfather was a minister. He didn't, because he didn't know. You can't teach somebody something that you yourself don't know. That just can't be. Unless you learn to allow God to use your wisdom from your mind and your heart through your being and put it with the Holy Spirit that leads, guides, and can direct you into all things and gives you the understanding that you need to get on your knees, my knees, and thank God every day for the things that we have. Amen. And so, in thinking about what I was going to talk about was not this. Because that changed last night. Sit here with a group of people. This guy was one of them. And we talked about lots of things. I don't know whether they agreed with me or not, but we got up and left without fighting or without telling each other a lie. So here we are. Well, one of the things is a book that I'm writing, and I want my children, grandkids, great-grandkids, when I'm not here anymore, to be able to look at it and get some sort of a sample of an understanding of what it might turn out to be for them, that they might see in it some of the things that I want to tell them about where I am in God's Word, which is not really as far along as it should be, but it's a lot further along than people that I know. Because when I started teaching in the Baptist church next county up, Brother Larry, which is Lori's daddy, became part of my clan. He came to that church and preached about 2 years, or maybe a little better. And that's all they could take from him. The Baptists just couldn't take it anymore. I got another little story about that too, but I don't know if I'll put that on you right now or not. But then, after Larry left and went to another church somewhere down in Georgia, and I don't remember the name, but it doesn't matter about that. But I had gotten on was voted on the deacon board there, and when my rotation off of the deacon board, well, the next deacon meeting they had, they invited me to the deacon meeting. I got my Bible, took it with me. They had installed new deacons and another preacher And we sat down there, and I had an idea of what they were going to say. But I was the only one that was holding the Word of God. And I said, boy, this is going to be fun. And when it was all over with, they asked me not to teach there anymore. I said, well, you've given me a good reason to leave you. And I said, I think that's something that Satan has never done here yet. They didn't like that too good either. But I told them the truth. It says, and the truth will set you free. And he said, well, sister, why are you doing all this? Because collectively, from what I heard the last 3 days, I didn't have a whole lot that I could add to it. But yet, I wanted you to stop and think about it a little bit, because in writing this book, I was looking for a way to tell my clan about the power of God. It was necessary to me to get some mode of understanding about the power of God, what it means to know the owner of this universe and the place you live, and to realize how he doles out his power and doesn't have any less when it's doled out to other people for understanding. And that's another word that I wanted to mention to you. It's only used in the Bible one time. And that's the word piety. P-I-E-T-Y. And it's mentioned in the 5th chapter of 1 Timothy. Because that's important too. Because what's being written there to this Timothy boy, because he started with Paul's ministry in about the 6th chapter in the 1st verse of the book of Acts. And it lists his mother and his grandmother and his daddy. And his daddy was a Greek. But his daddy evidently didn't have the time or the ability to teach his son. And he certainly didn't take the, and the mothers were, they were all Israelites. The women were, but the father was a Greek. Well, he never got circumcised. Paul took him and circumcised him, but Paul always called him my son in the faith. And to Paul, it was real important that Paul was the adult in the family. Now, I don't know what the mothers taught their son, but I had a grandmother to teach me. And brother, she taught me a lot of stuff, and my grandfather did too, but he died when I was 9 years old, or 10, right at 10 years old. And so I lived with my grandmother and went to school the rest of my high school years. And so she became the adult in my life. And I'm going to tell you something. She knew how to do it. I was in Bible reading every day. And a lot on Sunday. She said, if you read 1 chapter of the Bible every day, and 3 chapters on Sunday, you can read the Bible through in a year. Now, that don't mean study. It just means reading. So, reading, if you have any ability to retain, then that can certainly give you a kind of a ground hope of in the wisdom thing, because I've come to understand and realize that you, God give you a brain. And you use that to get educated or to get knowledge. Because you can't have an education without knowledge of the subject that's at hand. And if the subject is at hand is a God, then you really need to bear down, and it needs to come into a study. Because studying is different. Now, if you have been to college or send your children to college, you go there to listen to someone that's supposed to have the ability to allow you to get this information that you can use in your life for a reason. It wasn't just to go to college to drink beer, which I've seen that happen a lot of times too. Or look for girls. I've seen that happen some. But it is to provide to you, and this is what my high school principal told me. He said, Cecil, I'm not going to give you all of this knowledge that you will need, because you will need to keep learning, to keep learning. But he says, when I send you out of these doors, I want you to be someone that not only you will be proud of, but this community will be proud of, and I can look you in the eye and say I did the best I could do while I had you in my under my power, control. And the reason he did that, he had a daughter that wanted to drop a couple of high school classes and go straight to college. So he got out and he devised up a college entrance exam. There was 103 of us in the school in the night through the 10th grade. He gave all of us the test. His daughter included. She's a smart lady. I was a C-plus student. When the test results come in, I got called into the office. And Mr. Nally looked at me and he said, Cecil, you made the highest score in the school on this test. A C-plus student? He said, me and you are not on the same page. He went back behind his desk and he got a paddle off of that thing. It was full of holes. And he says, I'm going to introduce you to the Board of Education if you don't change that. And I looked at that paddle and I know he had paddled others with it. And I didn't want to get involved in the Board of Education that day. When I graduated the next year, before he gave out, before we went up on the stage to get our diplomas, he pulled me to the side. He took me aside like Paul took Timothy aside when he sent him to Ephesus. And he said, Cecil, I don't want to spring anything on you, but said, for this whole county, you got the award for being the most improved student in the whole county. Not just your little school, but the whole county. He said, I appreciate you listening to me. And I said, no, it wasn't that, Mr. Benelli. I started studying. So that's what it's all about, folks. It is important that we study to show ourselves approved, not to Mr. Nally, but to God, where all things come from. And so I realized the power in that. How much time I got, Ron?
About 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay.
Time flies, yeah.
That is my fishing clock. When my boys and all come by and said, we're going to get up at 5:30 in the morning, or the next day that morning, we're going to go fishing. And at 5:30, well, my other son, he's on time, so I got to be ready to go. So I keep that around before I see that. But that worked. But the thing of it is, and what I wanted to ask you about, is the word power. How could I write something in my book about my life that I realize that God has been with me for years before I knew anything about what's going on very much? I had heard the word, I had read the word, but I didn't believe the word. One day when Brother Larry comes to be our minister for a little while, he had 3 or 4 sermons that I couldn't get out of my mind. Every day it consumed me, because I wanted to know more. And I know that the Holy Spirit was working on me to get me to a point that I could understand that I had been chosen in Him before the world began. Now, what greater understanding can one grasp in his lifetime to know that the Creator of this universe knew me before He created anything? Amen. And that here I am. Now, how am I going to tell my grandchildren that? Some of them are here now. And I'm going to finish this book if the Lord will allow me and do that. So here's what I'm going to do. Well, I ain't got 2 minutes. I'm running out of time. Well, you can't run out of time. You can only change it around a little bit to fit whatever the deal is, especially with God. Well, I prayed about it. And so the way I was going to present this in the book was like, man, when we left Ohio, moved back down here, we had a bathroom in the house. We had running water in the house. We had lights in the house. We had everything pretty much that we needed in the house where Dad was working there. And when we moved back and Mom and Dad divorced, and Dad got me, I went back to my grandfather and grandmother's in a log house. No running water, no toilet, no dokadeska, as I call it. And dokadeska, for your information, is Japanese for toilet. Where's the toilet? I went to Japan for 30 days, and that's what I remember from all that. Now, that's not important, I see. But the thing of it was, that we didn't have none of the things that
I moved away from. But gradually we got them. No school bus. I had to walk to school. You've heard the old story, 5 miles uphill both ways. That ain't quite true either. But that's a lie of man, you know. But it felt like it sometimes. But God is all powerful. And He can distribute this power any way He chooses. For any purpose that He chooses. God has the privilege because He is the owner of this place. He has the ability to decide and choose what it is that He needs done or wants done with mankind, because man belongs to Him too. Because you see, in Genesis 3, we got the first time that Christ is used there, and that's when God was asking Adam, what happened about this fall? Why do you realize that you're naked? And Eve, and what he answered God with that was that it was the woman's fault, and it's the woman's fault that I did it because you gave me her. Well, you know, that started a good downfall right there, because nobody wants to take the responsibility of being the adult in the room, what I always say. So God can distribute this power. He distributed it to Moses when they set up the council of 70 with the high priest. He said, choose them out, get them to the tabernacle, pray with them, and then lay your hands on them that they be endowed with power from on high. Well, he did that. They could prophesy too. And they was some people outside is watching this stuff that didn't get chosen. And two of them went to Moses and said, look, you evidently got more than 70 here, because we got two of them over here that are prophesying and got involved in this thing. And why are they doing this when they weren't chosen by you? And Moses' answer to them was, I pray to God that all of Israel would be that way. Because you see, he understood the power that was given to him to give to these men, and Moses still had as much power as he did to start with. It didn't drain him of his power to be able to provide God's will and His work that way. And so I look at God and the power as being the power company. And here it might be Duke Power or the REA. Somewhere where we get our power. The lines that come toward our house. I think my grandkids could understand that as power. But then there's a pole or a place somewhere, maybe a box in the ground now, sitting there that has a transformer on it. And a transformer is actually what it means. It transforms the power, the great power, to a lesser power or an equal power that can be distributed to mankind in the dose that they need for their house, for their appliances, for all the things that we look at now. So you got the pole, you got the transformer, and the wires coming from the Father to the Son, and that could be looked at as the Son. for kids that don't have a lot of ability to understand. But I'm just using this as a deal for an example. And then from that, the power goes to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit doles it out as one that is a controller. And it controls that power to me and you. And that's where we get our word piety. And if you look at it as English, as an English word, in the P-I-E-T-Y, I think that's where we get our word pity from, because in some places it means mercy. And God gives us mercy because we got involved in this war between God and Satan. And sometimes in this battle or this fight, being a one that has a testimony for God, sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to tune it up a little bit for us, because we're in this battle and mankind needs all the help he can get. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so this is a salvation principle, because it all leads from a time when the United States decided they put a tracking deal up in orbit above the sky. And they call it GPS, Global Positioning System. I call it a little bit of a different thing. My GPS lives in me by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is God's perfect Son, GPS.
Amen.
You ever thought about that? Because you got your mind, and you got your understanding, and you got your heart. In tune with the Holy Spirit, that's the three things. That could demonstrate to my clan that it's of God being three in one, or three as one. What do you think? Do you think that's a pretty good idea to deal with, to get this across to them, that in this age we can't do anything without power? But if we're in tune to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, no problem. No problem. We can understand that if we will allow the old man to leave and the new man to grow up. And let the new man in you be the adult and the family.
Amen.
And that's all I got to say. Thank you so much.